I wanted to share a couple things with you. I want to share some metrics, some information. I'm going to share some stories, and I'm going to share my dream that Nikki and I together have this big, big dream for not just Cloquet Vineyard. I want to be very clear on that. It's not just about us. Like, God is big fans of everybody, and we want to like participate in that flow that God's inviting us into for people to experience a good and beautiful God. So in Vineyard Kids, I want to get all the kids. If you're a kid here, say, hey.
Hey.
There is, over the past year, 303 individual hey kids have come through the doors. That means if they've come once or they come like every single weekend, that's 303 individual kids that came into a place where we have furniture, we have toys, we have signage, we have music, we have leaders, we have people that all speaks just to their language, where they can feel loved and they can feel like accepted, they feel noticed, and they can feel empowered to really be forever friends with Jesus. That's the words that we use there. 303 total, like total kids. Like, so every time a little person came into our community, there's 3,600 kids have come into Vineyard Kids. I looked at the number. That is a lot of people running around. We've had over 672 volunteers. That's like, so that if when AJ volunteers, if she showed up five times, that'd count five. But that's a lot of people loving kids. We have, on average, our average attendance for from like November 8th to November whatever it is today, we're averaging 303 people every single weekend. That is like, what is that of Carlton? That's a third of Carlton that shows up on average. That's how all my math is, by the way. All my math is either like my graduating class, 54, or it's like average size of Carlton. I'm like, wow, that is an average size of my class. So we have had, we on our podcast, so we're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud. We've had 29 different countries have listened to our podcast. That's awesome. But like, who in Australia is listening to my voice? I don't even like listening to my own voice, let alone. We've had over 2,200 downloads. And the reason I'm saying that is that like the impact that when people experience like this culture, they experience this good news, it's not just staying in here. That it's making a difference, like throughout our communities and our schools, on our city blocks, and somewhere in Australia, someone's walking around, good and beautiful, good and beautiful. So, and this is my favorite one. In the past year, there have been 34 different people that said yes to a relationship with Jesus. That's 34. That's amazing. And this is. So when I share numbers with people, some people are like, well, wow, we don't really want to count. It feels really cold and personal. Every single number that I shared there, every single one, especially that 34, is a person that has surrendered their life to Jesus, that entered into this beautiful relationship with God. And the amazing thing is that it doesn't just stop with that person. When you experience Jesus, when you experience the kingdom of God, it changes the trajectory of your life. And every person that they meet, if they have a family, if they have kids, they have coworkers, now that kingdom life, that good and beautiful life, now gets multiplied for generations to generations to generations. And that's what we're about. Like, we say a lot here, good and beautiful. And it gets mixed results. It gets mixed results. Sometimes people hear good and beautiful, and they're like, Chris, that's, you know, it's really cute. It's really nice. Good and beautiful, but it's really just kind of pie in the sky. It's a little too easy. And I wanted to take a little bit to share, like, this is the dream we started with. You know how this started? There's the beginning story was we're driving around in our beat-up red van, and my son said, hey, you know what? We were at Grandpa Dick's and Grandma Sue's, and we're driving around Cloquet, and our son goes, you know what? Cloquet could use a Vineyard church. And that was like, where's my wife? That was like three, four years ago. Yeah. And that was amazing. And we're like, hey, yeah, that's a pretty good idea, right? Don't spill on the carpet. So and then I actually I really do love Carlton County. It's not a joke. I really love Carlton County. And when we started dreaming about what we're going to do next from Duluth Vineyard, we were like, let's go plant a church. And what are we thinking? That's crazy. And I'm like, let's plant a church in Cloquet. And I was super pumped about it, but like my family wasn't all at the same place. And so instead of like trying to like, you know, like just tapping Nikki on the shoulder and saying, hey, what do you think? What do you think? I'm like, I'm just not going to bring it up. I'm not going to talk about it. And we were at Sarah's table having coffee and breakfast. And I remember Nikki looking at me and she put her fork down and she goes, all right. I'm like, I'm racing my head. What did I do wrong? What's going on? Like, what am I going to apologize for? And she goes, all right, boom. She goes, I will talk. I'm willing to talk about the idea of planting a church in Cloquet. And in that moment, I like just felt this overwhelming. I'm like, this is happening, and it's happening. And from that point on, we had this dream of people experiencing a good and beautiful life. That there's a good and beautiful God, and he wants a good and beautiful life for us. And what I mean by that, I'm going to walk you through three different encounters with Jesus in the book of John that capture good and beautiful life. Because it is not just this, like, believe in your dreams, it's all okay, Skittles and rainbows, and it's just, oh, it's just smile all the time. That is not what we mean by good and beautiful life. And like, we're going to see how Jesus invites us into that. The first part is in John 6, or John chapter 1, verse 36 through 38. We have it on screen here. There's this this guy named John. He sees Jesus walking down, and he says, hey, look, the Lamb of God. And, like, these two buddies of John are, like, they hear it, and it's, like, I could see them, like, John's, like, hey, look, the Lamb of God. They look at John, and they look over, and they see some guy with this beard and this robe, and they're, like, that guy's the Lamb of God? And in this culture, they would have known that this was, like, the Messiah. It was going to be, like, this big, strong, like, warrior that was going to, like, take the country back, right, and restore it to the greatness that it is. And so I can imagine them looking at this carpenter, like, that guy? And they walk up, and they start asking Jesus these questions. It's almost like they're kind of creeping on him, really. And they're saying, hey, so really, you say you're, like, this Lamb of God, you're the Messiah. Like, where do you live? Right? And that's, like, not a normal question that we had. You don't walk up to a stranger and come and say, hey, where do you live? If someone does that, you might not want to tell them. So they're asking, where do you live? And why are they asking him this question? Because they're saying, if you're this Lamb of God, if you're this Messiah, if you're this big deal, like, who are you really? And it could be taken almost as a threat. Like, prove us you are who you really are. And Jesus, how does he respond? He responds by what? Saying, whoa, 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 I'm Jesus, I'm important, I am part of the beautiful people, you are not, and so, like, why don't you clean yourself up, don't screw up anymore, and if you can just be good enough, maybe I'll let you in the VIP lounge of my club called my house, right? And a lot of people, that's how they view Jesus is. In their mind, they have this idea of God is, get to here, and then you can hang out with me. But what does Jesus say? He says, come and see. A God. We have a Jesus-looking God. God tells people, come and see for yourself. A good and beautiful God, a good and beautiful life is one where you can come as yourself. Your hot mess, your hot, like, greatness, your celebrations, your lows, feeling all the feels, your past, your future, your story, like, your successes and your failures, all of your baggage is not a threat to a good and beautiful life. Because God sees these people. Jesus sees these people and he says, come and experience. Come and see for yourself. We have a God who loves you. We have a God that is crazy about you. And not just when you get it right. He's saying, come and be with me. See how I live. Later on in John 12, Jesus talks about, he's talking to a group of people. He goes, are you burnt out on religion? Are you just exhausted? Are you spent? He goes, come with me. See me. See how I work. Watch how I rest. Watch how I engage with people. He's saying, like, come and see for yourself. And he goes, and I will give you unforced rhythms of grace. We have a good God who's saying, come and see what it's like. And right after, so you go further on, you can look. These two guys go out, and they have this positive interaction with Jesus. They go out, and they're talking to their friends, and their friends kind of make these, like, almost kind of like this racist joke against Jesus, where he's from. They're like, no one ever good comes from there. And they're like, whoa, 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 come and see. It goes from this come and see God inviting us to be with him, and it goes to other people saying, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to like know the dress code of this church. You don't have to know all the words of the song. You don't have to know all these things. You can come right where you're at in your doubt, in your beauty, in your joy, in your pain. You can come and see for yourself. It's not a manipulation. It's not a bait and switch. It's like, yeah, just come experience it for yourself. When we say good and beautiful, we see a God who invites us to be with him, to be experienced. Then we go to John 10, and I use this all the time. This is kind of like my mantra, and Jesus says, I have come. He talks about that there's this enemy, and he goes, this enemy has come. The world has come. They want to like just like take everything from you. They want to bring like destruction and even death. He goes, but I'm different. But why did I come? Well, here's why I came. I came to bring life, and not just life. I came to bring life to the fullest. A good and beautiful God, a good and beautiful life is one where it can be experienced in your hot mess, in the reality of you. But then Jesus wants you to thrive. Jesus wants you, like those big dreams that you have, kids, like all the problems, 80, that you want to solve as you grow older, all like the pictures you have in your mind of what you can create, all that drive you have of owning like the best business in Carlton County, all those like the pain that you carry of other people who are experiencing oppression, and it drives you how you want to see justice happen, not just somewhere else in the world, but like right here in Carlton County. That's the kingdom of God. There is so often when I talk to people about this, like, hey, no, Jesus wants you to thrive. He wants you to flourish. They have this like, can it really be that good? And we have this concept, and I really believe in Carlton County, and I'd say like wider area as well, that you just have to tolerate life. You just gotta be good enough. It's like, I'm just gonna be a good enough parent, I'm just gonna be a good enough friend, and you know, I'm just gonna be a good enough employee, and as long as I just like stay alive. And God, he just kind of tolerates me, and I tolerate him. And people, that's sometimes their experience with spirituality. And here we have Jesus saying, he even goes on, he goes, when he's they see him do all these miracles, he's like, hey, like this guy just got raised from the dead. He's like, you're gonna do even greater things than this. We have a good and beautiful God who wants you to thrive. He wants to see you soar. He wants to see you flourish. Part of my dream is that we can experience that, and we can invite other people into that. And we can invite other people to flourish, to be fully human. But here's like what brings it all together. In John 16:33, Jesus says this, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You see, when Jesus, like, we could just pick, like, really, when we have the idea of, like, pie in the sky, good and beautiful, we could just go to take out the verses of the Bible that really just fit that and say, we're happy, we're good, it's great, there's only victory, there's only blessing, there's only promise. And that would be a horrible thing to do, because then you miss out on the cross. And the cross is a nightmarish experience. It's like the darkness in the middle of night. And Jesus, when he's talking about a good and beautiful life, he says, hey, just so you know, you're going to do even greater things than this. And you can flourish and you can thrive. You can be fully you, like in those deep dreams. But just so you know, there's going to be incredible amounts of pain. You're going to experience trouble. People will hold you down. People will push back. The enemy will push back. But what does he say? He says, take heart. What does take heart mean? In my mind, take heart is, I get this picture of, okay, Chris, like Jesus looking at me, he goes, hey, Chris, you're going to experience incredibly hard things. You're going to see racism in Carlton County. You're going to get people who mock you. Hey, Chris, your family is going to come under attack. But hold on, Chris, breathe. Pause. Center yourself. Why? What does he say next? For I have already won. You're going to experience trouble. You're going to experience pain. You're going to experience crisis. But hold on, pause, because I've already overcome the world. So let me just take a sidestep here. This has been a crazy week. This has been a crazy, what, 18 months? But it all culminate on Tuesday, election night. And the thing I love about like the church, because you guys know who the church is? You guys know that like we are the church, not the building, not some other church, not the pastors. We are the church. The thing I love about the church is right now, right next to you, you can like even do like a little like peek out of the eye, there's someone who voted for Clinton. If you look the other side, there's someone who voted for Trump. And if you look maybe a little bit further down, someone voted for a libertarian, right? There's people here who have different beliefs, who have different backgrounds, who have different everything, and it's still good and beautiful. But in that process, you probably are feeling everything from like ecstatic joy, for, like because your person won. You might be here, you might be feeling the exact opposite. I have friends who are people of color, and they're scared. I have another friend of mine who is a person of color and shared like, what does this mean for me and what does this mean for my family? And if you've been on social media for like a second, you get about 30 different answers to all those questions, right? And it, for some of you, you're like, yeah, this is fun. And for 95% of us, it's like, this is not fun. It's complex. So how do we respond? Take heart. Take heart. That does not mean discount your pain. When Jesus says there's trouble, take heart for overcome the world, it doesn't mean we look at someone else and say, hey, you got to tough up. It doesn't mean we go to someone else and say, hey, stop gloating the fact that your person won. Take heart means pause. You're going to experience trouble. A good and beautiful life, I usually have my steps right here. I'd step down right now, right? I won't do it. I always am like, right in the concussion in the pool, right? Yeah. A good and beautiful life then is this. It's one where we don't need to avoid pain. A good and beautiful life doesn't mean like, no, I'm going to pretend that there's not hard things in this world. No, I'm not going to pretend. You guys know that because of this election, it did not like bring like racism and sexual assault and like crooked politicians, all those already existed. This campaign, I'm not talking about a person, I'm talking about a campaign. All it did is dial it up. All it did is dial it up. And our opportunity as followers of Jesus, as kingdom people, is this. We can sit in that pain. In fact, we're called to sit in that pain. We're called to reach out and notice people who are hurting. Notice people who are celebrating, and can we be with them? I was talking with one of my friends. She's like, hey, when Jesus like walked into a community, he talked about who are the oppressed and what can we do about it. We have an opportunity with this vision of a good and beautiful God. It means that we can be the take heart. We can sit with people in pain. We can sit with people in hard conversations. We can sit, in, though we might have different like beliefs or ideologies of how we implement government and all of it, I'm like, that's great. We are going to make this world better. A good and beautiful God and a good and beautiful life is a God who says, come and see for yourself, experience me for yourself. There's a God who says, and I want you to thrive, and I have everything you need in the midst of your pain. That's what we're inviting people into. So let me end with my dream. I'd say this is, Nikki and I have this dream of where we feel like God's going. Because you guys know, like, I totally skipped on all the stories. We've had so many people have come into this community, into the Cloquet Vineyard, that have shared, like, those numbers are great, but those are just like a breath of the stories of the things that happened here. We had one kid that was in Vineyard Kids, and he came up, we overheard him talking to another kid, and he goes, hey, so when does it like stop being fun? When does it get back to like being boring? Because is it always like this? The kid's like, yeah, it's actually like fun often. I've had a lot of people share with me over the past several months of saying, hey, like when I come in, I feel something different. I feel like people actually want to be here. It's weird, like people smile. The idea of church doesn't feel heavy. The idea of church feels life-giving. I've had other people to share that they were just done with church. That's Nikki and I's story. I'd love to share that with you sometime. We were just done. Like, if this is God's church, he can have it back. I love God, but just take it, all right? Because we were horribly hurt. A lot of manipulation. A lot of bait and switch. And I had several families say, so we came just thinking, okay, we're going to do this for our kids. And after it, we're weeping and crying. I've had a lot of people say, during worship, I just cry all the time. Why? Here's why. Because people are experiencing, imagine this, something good and beautiful, something that's real, something that's authentic. We've had people talk about how they've experienced physical healing. One guy where his leg was all messed up, someone prayed for him. He's like, I can walk again. We've had people where we've experienced sickness and experienced healing. A lot of people who experience oppression and feel like I don't count, I don't have value, I don't have worth, and come up and received prayer. One of my favorite stories, one of the first weekends, we do something called ministry time and invited people to stand up and hold open their hands as a physical way, just a way of saying, like, hey, I want to receive something from Jesus. And I'm like, but maybe you're newer here and you don't want to do that because you feel like everyone's going to turn around and look at you like, wow, she's one of those people that want something from Jesus. So I said, just do this. Just kind of hold up your hands a little bit, right? They don't know. And I had one lady after the service come up to me and she goes, thank you for doing that. This whole idea of like standing and receiving from Jesus is so foreign to me, but I experienced something good. We have people who love this place. Love what we're doing. So here's my dream. My dream is this, and then we're going to baptize. We're going to take communion after this. My dream is that we can make it as easy as possible for people to experience a good and beautiful God. There's a lot of obstacles that come in the church, from signage to what do I have to dress? Is it clear to find out where we go? What do I need? I want to make it as easy as possible for people here to come and learn what it means to love God. That's it. As simple as possible, not just stay there. Easy in a clear way that they go from loving God to how do I actually love people? How do I love people on purpose? Because you might walk in and say, okay, I want to grow, but what does that really look like? That we have a clear, in the next year, of clear ways people can take their next step with Jesus. Then here's the next dream of that, is I want to be the best lovers of our cities. And yes, Renshaw counts as a city, all right? You matter. Yeah, that's right! I want to be known as the best lovers of our city. This is something I am very passionate about. That the church, I believe, shouldn't just be like, hey, if you want the best of like our community, you want the best of like what God has for you, well, come to us, right? Come to us, and if you're in our club, then you'll get the best of us. I believe the church is the exact opposite. That we get together and learn how to love God. We encourage each other. We do a couple attaboys and we develop friendships. We pray for each other. We experience healing. But then we go out to love the city. When I say city, I mean wherever you are at. The flourishing city of Thompson, right? The thriving city of Scanlon. The city of Carlton, of Culver, right? That matters, right? To Esco, to Barnum, to Askove. That we love like our neighbors, that we know like not just their names, we know their stories, that we love our schools, we love our small businesses, that we love our municipal workers, that we know the mayor's name, right? Do you know them? I just learned the mayor's name, right? And that we can fall in love with the city, that we can serve the city, and not expecting anything returned, but that we can absolutely change. Because here's the deal. I believe as followers of God, as kingdom people, we want to raise the temperature. We want to raise the culture. We want to raise the quality of life of Carlton County. Like, what would it look like if we could have a place where business leaders can learn what it looks like to really love people, where they have an incredible work environment, where they can offer great healthcare, where young men and women can learn what it looks like to be a person of integrity and character and love. Like, what would it look like? We loved our city so much that they could look at our city and say, wow, look how they have handled like racial reconciliation in Carlton County. Like growing up, it was like, okay, we have Fond du Lac right there. And it was always like this, like, okay, they're somewhere else and we're over here. And I just go, oh, that's how it is. What if it was no longer an us versus them? What if we could love the poor? What if we could love our city to the point that we know when people are hungry and we can do something about it? What if like our city councilors felt so loved and encouraged that they could like, what if like our principals, maybe even like Barnum, right? Could have, they have this huge dream, of all these kids coming from like miles, miles away, where they can come and they can feel not just a great education, they can like, they can thrive as a boy and as a girl. They could find out what their deep dream is. In the midst of their horrible family situations, in the midst of oppression, in the midst of all the financial stuff, and they could say, I matter. Our schools can do that. And where does that start? It's not just by voting someone else in. It's not just saying, oh, I hope someone else takes it. It's us. It's you. My dream is that we on purpose can love our city. My last one is this, that we can grow, that we can multiply. There is over 17,000 people, according to the, we call it the census, where people self-identified of, I'm like non-spiritual. What would it look like if we could multiply, not just in numbers in like in the seat, like I want us to grow as that as well, but we can grow in our ability to love people. In order to engage those 17,000 people, and honestly, I want them all. Not to come to our church, I mean, why not? It would be great to come to our church, but it's not about us growing so we look good. It's every number of those people are people that can experience a good and beautiful life, hope and healing. I want to grow and multiply in our depth, not just like this way. I want to grow in our depth of what does it really mean to be a biblically minded person? Like when Jesus talks about loving our enemies, what does that really mean for me? Learn how we can pray for people like on the street. We pray for our friends. How do we hear God's voice? How do we be like the best parents possible? How do we have like thriving friendships? We're doing one whole series in next year all on how do you just be a great friend. Because I think that's somewhere we're not always the best at. And the way we're going to do this, the way we grow and multiply, we learn these things, is in the context of community. Not having just like the expert. I was about to call myself an expert. Not at all, right? So that having, bringing an expert, it's like, all right, teach us how to do this, but we learn how to do it together. Because we believe life is better together. It's a clear, easy way for people to learn how to love God and love people. Love our cities. Like really love the city. And then that we multiply. So here's what I want to do. We're going to take communion. You guys still have your communion things? So here's why we do. Before you open them up, right? Before you open them up. Let me tell you, sometimes we do things, we say this all the time, we're not going to just do churchy things because churches do them. Here's why we take communion. Jesus said the night before he's betrayed, I'll walk through what he says, but this is essentially what he's saying. Like food, a cracker and a juice. There's reasons that he had this. Like that food brings you life. If you want to run a marathon, if you want to like have a great day at school, you need energy. Food brings you energy. It sustains you. It nourishes you. It actually brings you life. If you don't eat food, this is science, you won't be wealthy or healthy, maybe both, right? So Jesus is saying in the same way, he says, remember me, take this bread, drink this cup in remembrance of me. Jesus is saying, take me in. In the same way, food brings you life. In the same way, like this juice can like nourish you and sustain you. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. Take me in and let me sustain you. If you don't take me in again and again and again, he's saying, you're missing out on the good and beautiful life. So as a church, we do this to remember what he did on the cross for us, what he did for us walking on the earth, and what he did by 3 days, like resurrecting. And he's saying, just have a normal rhythm of saying yes to Jesus. And not just saying, oh, you're over there, that's great, but saying, God, will you come and bring me life? So we're going to start by taking the cracker. So if you want to take that out, you peel up the top. You take that first. And Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 19, Jesus said, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to his friends, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So this little cracker represents, like, Jesus coming to earth, loving us, saying, come with me, experience for yourself. I want you to thrive. You can experience and do hard things. He's saying, how do you do that? Take me in. So let me pray. Jesus, we say yes to you. We thank you that you gave your body for us, that you showed us what it looks like to work. You showed us what it looks like to laugh. You showed us what it looks like to suffer. You showed us what it looks like to be desperate. So Jesus, we say yes to you. Will you bring life and nourishment to those of us who are feeling pain, those of us who are feeling tired? We say yes to you. Amen. to take the cracker. And then Jesus goes on to say, in the same way after the supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus, through his blood, and this is a if you're newer to spirituality, you hear people talking about eating a body and drinking blood, and there's a bathtub up front, you're going to be like, well, I don't know what's going on. And that's normal, right? That's a normal thing. What he's saying, my blood is new covenant. He's saying, because I gave my life, you get to experience all the benefits, all the beautiful, all the hope and healing you get to experience because I took the pain. Because I took the word that traditionally churches use, because I took the sin. And through my death and through my resurrection, because this was poured out, you get to experience the good and beautiful life. So as you drink this, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be quiet even just for a little bit. Just picture, even like visualize yourself as that juice coming in your mouth and you experience the sweetness of it. Well, I hope it's sweet, right? You experience the sweetness of it. Imagine the way that when you experience Jesus, is it sweet? Is it refreshing? And as it goes like into your body, and you can just, I picture of like all the sugar just and all the good stuff just being spread out through my body. Imagine God's Spirit just coming in and spreading throughout and bringing life to your body, bringing life to your soul, bringing life to your spirit. So let me pray. So Jesus, thank you that you gave not just your body, you gave the best of yourself, that you died for us. And even though you experienced hard things, even as you prayed right before, right after the saying, if you can take this cup from me, Jesus, but Jesus still said yes. And because of your obedience, because of your faithfulness, because of your power, because of your beauty, because of your love for us, you went to the cross and gave yourself. So we love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take the cup. That's awesome. Let's stand. Please stand. I'm gonna close this in prayer, and we're gonna baptize. If you want to get baptized, even as they're being baptized, and you're like, I want that, you can come up on this side, and we're gonna have Miss Nita Davis will be there to welcome you. And we have clothes for you so that you don't have to walk around wet. And then you get baptized, you get some free clothes out of the deal too. So let me pray. And if we can have the people who are getting baptized, can you make your way to the front? We're going to have you stand on this side over here. And you can line up. And I'm going to pray for us. And then the way we do baptisms, we sing. We sing, and when they go under and they come out, what I'm going to invite you to do is that you scream, kids, you scream and hoot and holler as loud as you can as a way of like a party, as a way of celebrating for their decision to follow Jesus. Let me pray. God, thank you for this community. Thank you for the past year. Thank you that you are continuing to develop and build something good and beautiful. And I say, use us. Use your church to bring hope and healing all the way from like Proctor to Esco to Carlton to Holyoke to Floodwood to Culver to Askove and around the world. Jesus, we say, use us. Show us how to love the city. Show us how to love God and love people. Amen.